Recipes that are healthy and allergy-free. Recipes that are tasty and allergy-free. Recipes that are easy to make and allergy-free. Wow, never heard of those until recently. As an allergy parent or child, it's extremely hard to find tasty, easy to make, and healthy recipes. We eat 3 times every single day. Allergy kids need variety. And what if I told you, by listening to this podcast, that can happen? Luckily today, we have a very special guest who happens to have a large following on some social media apps you might be familiar with, like Facebook and TikTok. She is an allergy mom, advocate, author, and she makes recipes that you can use. Introducing Megan Lavin. How are you doing today?
I'm good. How are you?
Good, thank you. So can you tell the audience a little bit about who you are?
Yeah, so my name is Megan, and I had heard of food allergies, but I had zero understanding of what they were. Like, I literally was like, if someone would tell me I have a peanut allergy, I'd be like, oh, so you just can't eat Reese's? Like, I had no idea the depths that food allergies took until I had my first son. And the first time we gave him yogurt, he was about 11 months old, he went into full-blown anaphylaxis. And I didn't even know what anaphylaxis was at the time. So I'm like, oh, I didn't have an EpiPen. Like, I just had this feeling like, you need to get him to the ER right now. I should have called an ambulance, but again, I was not trained, drove like a maniac, got him there, and that began our food allergy journey. And now he has six severe anaphylactic food allergies. My second son also has multiple food allergies. And so it was kind of like, just dive right into the food allergy world and try to figure it out. And so ever since then, any little bit of knowledge I've learned, whether it's, you know, the practical lifestyle aspect of food allergies to recipes, I've tried to share online, because I know how it felt when I got the diagnosis. I was like, where do I go from here? What do I feed my family? Like, what does this all mean? And how lost I felt. And I want to save anyone from that feeling if I can.
Wow, that's amazing. So your child has how many allergies?
So it's wheat, dairy, egg, peanut, tree nut, beef, and goat's milk. So 7.
Oh my goodness. So I'm sure, what prepared you for this life? Did you think anything could have prepared you for doing right now what you're doing for this food allergy life?
You know, I think some things helped. Like, for example, I had already found a love for cooking and baking. So I was really into like digging for recipes, finding recipes, being in the kitchen. And I think that really helped me kind of be like, okay, I can get in the kitchen. I can figure this out. But honestly, there were some skills like learning to say no and to advocate for my son were really hard for me. I was more the type that was like, go with the flow. Don't make a stink. Don't rock the boat. Don't say no type of personality. And so it's kind of been this silver lining and this gift of having to grow in those areas that I was lacking. So a little bit of both, I'd say.
Wow, that's nice. That's good. I've interviewed, you know, a bunch of people this past month who are advocates like you, and I've always asked them this same question. What inspired you to do what you do today, right? And I ask them this because every single person has a different answer. And I'm just curious to know, like, it's always great to know what and how, like, started, you know, ignited the fire. So what inspired you?
Yeah, well, probably a couple of things. My degree was in broadcast journalism, so I really loved writing and I really loved TV. And I had like a family blog that I really enjoyed. And so I kind of, when I started gleaning this information and I was like, wow, this would be really helpful. I kind of was like, well, I already have this passion for like broadcasting a message and for writing. And so I was like, why don't I harness that and take what I already enjoy and just turn it into something that's maybe just more beneficial than a family blog. And then there was also, I don't know if you've heard of her, but her name is Sabelle I hope I'm saying her last name right. I think it's Pascal. And yeah. And she had a cookbook. She was the first allergy cookbook that I ever found. And it just like, it was like lightning striking. I was like, oh my gosh, like I could actually make my son a birthday cake. Like I thought that was out of the question with wheat and dairy and eggs and all those things, you know, gone. And so when I saw like what her cookbook did to me and how it just like flipped my world upside down and helped me realize like, oh my gosh, maybe we can have somewhat normal food again. I was like, how cool would it be if I could do that for someone else? You know? So I think experiencing that lifeline and then being like, wait a minute, I already like to write. I can do TV. Like I've done a lot of live TV segments of showing how to cook with food allergy. I was like, and even just talking into your phone, like doing an Instagram story or a TikTok, just being comfortable with like talking online. I was like, maybe I could make this work. And you just kind of figure it out as you go. But yeah, that's kind of
like the best feeling, right?
Yeah.
What show were you on?
So I usually do local TV. So I used to live in like Salt Lake City and they would have me on like monthly and I would go and show them different recipes and try and educate them as much as I could about food allergies. And it was loads of fun. I love live TV.
Oh my gosh, that's amazing. So I've seen your TikToks actually, and they're really nice and concise and easy to learn a lot from it. So what made you cave in to TikTok?
Yeah, well, that's a funny question because I, you know, definitely was aware of TikTok. I try and know what's going on in the social media world. And I was like, nope, not doing it. It is one more thing to have to manage. Like it is enough just to, because I am a one woman team. Like I do everything myself other than, well, I guess that's not true. I ask someone to manage my Pinterest because I don't care for Pinterest. But I answer every single question myself. I respond to every single person. And I'm like, I already just feel flooded keeping up with like Instagram and Facebook. I'm not doing it. No. And I had this one friend and she was like, you really should do it. Like, it's such a great way to reach a different audience. And then I had another friend that's also a blogger be like, hey, there's this program that you should do. And it was kind of like a campaign with TikTok. And I was like, fine, I'll try it out. And then once I saw how easy it was to edit videos and how fast you can grow on there, I was like, hey, this is pretty cool. So yeah, it's been an interesting journey because I just started it like, I don't know, July, I think.
You know what, it sets you apart from like other people who are also advocates. Like most people do not have like TikTok. And when I was looking at your Facebook, right, to like, you know, ask if you could be on my podcast, I saw that you had TikTok. And I was like, what? Really? That's awesome. Because it reaches, like, as you said, a different audience. And I think it's easier. It's actually parents are aware, but like children, you know, who has friends who have allergies, it's better to understand that, which is amazing. So what are the different foods that you make on TikTok and like share on TikTok?
Yeah, well, I try and just make it be really organic. So I honestly just, first off, I am type A when it comes to like meal planning. Like I am not one of those people that can just be like, let me open my pantry and figure out dinner. Like, no, every Sunday I sit down and I make what we're making every single day. So I have my game plan for the week. And then I just, as I'm making something, I'll be like, oh, this could make a TikTok video. So I'm literally filming it as I make it. I know some people will do it just for content. Like, no, we're legit eating this for dinner after I make it. And I kind of like that feel of like, I try and think of it as like I'm FaceTiming a friend and just showing them in like a really relaxed way of how to cook something. Because I started off doing a few like YouTube videos and like the overhead tasty style, and it was such a production and it was so much work. And I just was like, you can show the same thing. Like, I love the casualness of TikTok where it's like, I can just show you like straight up. It doesn't have to be professional lighting. It's like, dump this in a bowl, stir it. And I think it's so much more approachable and not as like intimidating because it literally is like, just join me in my kitchen, you know?
Exactly. Yeah. So can you tell me a little bit about your book?
Yeah, so that was crazy how that came to be because it wasn't like a bucket list or anything that I was like itching to do. And it actually came at a time where I was like, oh, I don't know what direction to take my blog. And I just really feel like the universe just plopped it in my lap. Like it was something that was meant to be. And this, the publishing company reached out to me and I legit was like, this has to be spam. Like, this cannot be a correct email. Like, no, what? Okay. Yeah, it felt surreal. And they were like, no, we feel like this is a good niche. We want to approach this. Let's do this. And I was like, I was so hesitant. Like, my husband was like, why wouldn't you? And I'm like, I don't know. I mean, I had three kids and my baby was only like less than a year. I'm like, I don't know if I have the time and the energy. And he was like, just do it. And I'm so glad I did. I mean, it was, I call it like my other baby, because it was so much time and energy to like research. I mean, I did everything from the writing to researching recipes, testing recipes, doing the photography, and it was so much work. But the feedback that I have gotten has been so amazing. So many people saying, I didn't know what to cook. Yeah. And you have been such a help. And so I'm like, that's why it came to me. It was meant to be. And I really feel like it's been able to help people. And that is just so gratifying.
What's the book called?
It's an Allergy Mom's Instant Pot Life-Saving Cookbook. And I really do hope it's like life-saving for people, where it's like, I don't know what to cook. And yeah, it just gives you those things. Yeah.
Goodness, that's nice. So how long did it take you to actually like formulate the, you know, the content and the pictures and everything?
Yeah. So they approached me, I think, in like January, a couple of years ago. And I had to submit it, I think it was like by August. So I had just that, those couple, and it was 60 recipes, and several of them, you know, go through multiple iterations and everything. So it was a fast timeline. And then it didn't come out, you know, between printing and binding and everything till the next spring. So it was about a year and a half total between trying to market it and create it and put it all together and send it out with love. So it was a crazy roller coaster.
That's awesome. I mean, having a cookbook just there, and also you could give it to your children, like when they are older, right? Like maybe in college, when people, you know, 'cause it's hard having food allergies in college, right? You can't, you're always studying, and you can't have, you know, enough times that your children have that privilege also.
Oh yeah. I love that point that you bring up, because I was always thinking with my oldest, like, how will he do college? Like, that's been a fear of mine, because he can't just like eat top ramen or get pizza. And so I had always planned to just like, maybe just like print off my own for him when he leaves, so he'd have them. So the fact that he has like this official copy is so meaningful to me. And I actually talked to my publisher, and I was like, I want a few pictures of my family in it. So like each section has a picture of one of my kids eating the recipe. And that's like such a time capsule for me. And it makes me teary-eyed, because now it's been a couple of years just to look back and see them, because I really made it with my family in mind. Like, these are recipes I still make weekly for them. Like, it's like our cookbook Bible, you know?
Wow. Yeah, totally. Do you think that maybe in college, or people who do not have food allergies, I mean, I have my personal opinion on it, but do you think that people understand food allergies well? Like, are aware of it, understand what people actually go through?
No, I really don't. I think the more I've been in this space, and the more that I've advocated, I've realized there's so many misunderstandings. It's often a joke, or people think, oh, just go ahead and eat it, and then just stab yourself with the EpiPen, you'll be fine. People don't understand cross-contamination, and they don't understand how to read labels. And to be honest, I try and have empathy and realize, like, I didn't either. Like, until you have to, it's kind of like, you could ask me about another type of disability or medical condition, and I probably wouldn't know much about it. Until you have to know, you kind of don't. But it is frustrating, because we try and live in a community and food's everywhere, and people don't understand. But tell me your take. I'd love to hear it.
Yes, definitely. I agree with you. I really don't believe that people, I even talked about this in my previous episode. I don't believe that people understand what you go, maybe people are aware of it, but awareness and understanding are two different things. I think that even in restaurants and everything, people are like, yeah, no nuts, no nuts. Like, I'm allergic to nuts, right? And we say, okay, are there any nuts in it? We double check, triple check. And they say, no nuts and everything. And then when we get the food, it had nuts in it. And I ate it, went to the hospital, ER, and we called them, and we're like, it had nuts in it. They're like, oh, I'm so sorry. Like, they don't get it. They don't get it. Like, it's just, they don't understand. And it's like, you could die. You could literally die by having this. And I don't think people really understand it. So I totally concur with you.
Yeah.
But do you think that maybe you can share a story that could, you know, make people understand it a little better? Do you share a story about an allergic reaction that happened to your one of your children?
Well, I think you shared probably the best and prime example is, you know, when you go to order something, and even when people think, oh, it's just a trace amount or it's a little, I mean, we've totally had that happen where we've gone to a restaurant that we've vetted, we've trusted, we've eaten there before, and all it takes is one error for your body to completely lose control and almost die. And, you know, he took one bite and he was like, this doesn't taste right. And I was like, oh my gosh. And then it's the rushing to the ER. It's seeing him swell. It's seeing him turn red. It's seeing him start to cough. And, you know, talking to the restaurant after and trying to be like, do you understand? Like, my son almost died last night because you were careless. Like, I ordered very carefully and you still, you know, and I get that human error is going to happen, but it just, it's unfortunate that it happens with food allergy patients because it's just so scary. And until you've like had that, like rushing your child to the ER, wondering if they're going to live, heart in your throat, lump in your stomach, you know, the panic is just, it's awful. And I just wouldn't wish it upon anyone.
One bite could literally, it changes your life forever because you eat one bite and then it's like, you have to go everything after that. The aftermath is just horrible. And yeah. I feel like people, restaurants especially, you know, have to be more aware and cautious of that. I really hope, like, why can't there be an allergy-free menu or something like that? Like, I'm just, I don't even know. But yeah. Because of food allergies, has self-confidence impacted any of your children?
Yeah, that's a really good question. And I feel like you actually might be more of the pro than I am because my boys are still growing up. They're still young. They're still in early elementary school, but I have noticed a change. Like, for example, when he was in preschool and he had to bring his own snack, of course, he'd be like, I have food allergies. I have my own snack. And he was like proud to announce it. And with every passing year where you start to care more, you want to fit in, you want to be like your peers, I've noticed it bothers him more and more and more where he's like, I don't want to bring that. My food looks different, or don't tell people I have food allergies. And so we try really hard to stress like, what you eat does not make who you are. It's okay to be different. You know, everybody's body's different. Everyone has something. Like, you know, someone has to wear glasses because their eyes don't work right. Your body just doesn't work right with certain foods. But, you know, internalizing it is a whole different ballgame. Do you have any tips?
Definitely. Well, I know that a lot of people actually, I mean, everybody's going through something, whether you know it or not, everybody's sure. going through something. And I think that you just have to realize that, as you said, you know, what you eat does not define who you are. And it's very difficult, especially in school, when you're in a cafeteria and you have to sit at different tables than your friend because you're allergic, like the peanut table or any other, you know, if you have allergies, you have to sit at a different table. And it's horrible because it makes you feel like you're different and you don't fit in. And everyone wants to belong. Everyone does. And it's human nature. Like, everyone needs to fit in. Like, even experiments on like mob mentality and everything, you yeah. want to fit in. And so my tip is that you just have to realize that everybody's going through something, whether you know it or not. Can you share two tips about food allergies and recipes maybe for parents?
Okay, two tips. My go-to, and this might seem a little trivial, but when you're a little kid, it's a really big deal. I've done a TikTok on this. I keep a treat box, is what we call it. And it's like this plastic tub container that is full of all sorts of yummy goody stuff that they would crave and love. So Skittles, Starburst, Smarties, Dum Dums, because you just never know. Like, it seems like no fail when you think you're going to go to an event that will be food free, no big deal. Everyone wants to give out treats. Everyone wants to give out candy, and they're often not safe. And so I've learned to reassure my kids because as a kid, it's like, can you imagine the amount of self-control, like seeing this yummy thing and as a kid having to turn it down, and they're often bummed out, you know? And I'm like, I got you. No, I have a safe treat for you. So anytime they have to turn one down, I always compensate and say, as soon as we get home, you can pick whatever you want out of the treat box. And that has really helped with like meltdowns and feeling slighted and feeling left out because they're like, oh, I'll get my treat. I just have to wait till we get home. So that's been like a big kind of fight reducer for my kids, you know, feeling upset when we're out in public. And then the other thing is just like planning. Like, I think as a parent, we really just have to have like an extra sensor for being like, you know, do I have enough safe food if you have smaller kids, like in the diaper bag in case like we're out longer than we think, because you can't just like stop at McDonald's or whatever, you know, depending on your food allergies. And do I have enough snacks? Have I packed this? Have I packed that? You know, what's this event going to look like? Whether that's calling ahead, it's always thinking ahead. So you're kind of not caught off guard. And that really helps for me reduce the anxiety and be prepared.
Yeah, those are amazing tips. What is your like emergency kit consist of? Like when you go out, what do you have on you at all times?
Yeah. So I make sure that I have this in my diaper bag, which because I still have small children, like my youngest is only one. So we never leave the house without my diaper bag. That will transition to my purse someday when I actually don't have someone in diapers, which is exciting to think about. But and then I also have the same kits in both of the boys' backpacks. So that way they always have them on them at school. And anytime they go anywhere without me, like say they're going to a friend's house, to grandma's house, they know to take their backpack. And then inside, because they have both food allergies and asthma, they have their emergency inhaler, they have two EpiPens, and then they have Benadryl and Zyrtec for like contact reactions. So like they also have some environmental allergies. So if they touch grandma's dog, their eyes start to, you know, get itchy and red, they have something that will control that with the histamine.
Okay, yeah, that's great. Yeah, that's the same thing for me and my sister, my siblings. They have, we bring like an emergency kit, and it consists of Zyrtec, Benadryl, EpiPens, two EpiPens, because obviously if one doesn't work, you always have to have a backup one. And
right.
We always keep it with us at all times. Like before we leave,
very
smart. Someone have the EpiPen, like we have to make sure our EpiPen kit, like everything that, it's something you have to adapt to, right? It's like, we're thrown into this life. So we just kind of have to adapt to it. And it's a habit, like someone get the emergency kit, someone get this. So yeah, I totally agree what you said there. Regarding your recipes, since it's called Less Panic, More Peace, it's going to the more peaceful side. Can you share where you found kindness, for your book and everything? Like one person maybe like emailed you or something, like how did it make you feel?
Yeah. Well, just the other day, someone, emailed me, and it just is such, it's so gratifying when, you know, it's been out for a little over a year and to still have people finding it. And when they say, you know, I used to have to make multiple meals a night to fit different allergens, and now I can just make one meal. And it's not like we're making it and like grinning and bearing it. Like we all thoroughly enjoy it. And that is just like, because I know how it feels to sit down and have a good meal and enjoy that with good company and your family and not be like, oh, this is miserable, I just have to choke it down. And so, yeah, things like that just make like all the time and effort that I put into it totally worth it. So I really appreciate it. It's so nice for people to take time out of their day to let me know that. That's very kind.
That's amazing. I feel like there's always this misconception, like, I mean, at least for me, there's a lot of people who say like, oh yeah, if it's like dairy free or gluten free, it's not going to be good. I'm like, but that doesn't, like, what is there, do you feel like there's, is it actually tasty? Maybe like it actually tastes good, right? Even if it has no dairy or gluten or nuts or anything like that.
Oh, for sure. I mean, I'm going to be honest, because I have zero food allergies. So yes, there are some things that I prefer that I'm like, yeah, that's not as good as the real thing. Like there's always going to be some things. So like a bread pudding, I just don't feel like there's a good substitute without eggs. You just don't get that creamy, yolky filling. So we just don't have it, because to me, it's not worth having something that's like super subpar. But there's so many things. I mean, gluten-free and dairy-free has come so far that you can seriously have it like one-to-one substitute. My favorite, most compliment is when like we'll have a big function or we'll have a birthday party and regular eaters come. And they're like, oh my gosh, I couldn't even tell that was, you know, dairy-free. Yeah, and you're like, ding, 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 right?
Yeah, definitely. Do you have a favorite food maybe that you make?
Oh, you know, I'm a chocolate girl, and it was like paramount to me when my son was little that we could have like a good chocolate birthday cake with like that rich chocolate frosting.
Love chocolate.
And I love it. It is so moist. In fact, I have one friend, she's a regular eater. And she says, I look forward to your family's birthday parties because I love having your cake. And I was like, check.
Oh, you know? That's awesome. That's a great feeling. Yeah. Wow.
It is. It is. And I genuinely look forward to having it. Like, it's not like, oh, I've got to make this so my kid can have a birthday cake. I'm like licking the bowl myself, you know?
Exactly. So. Eating yourself and just looking at other people who are like, oh my God, I love your work. Like, it's just amazing. I'm sure.
Yeah. It's a good feeling for sure.
Yeah, definitely. And I understand your motivation for doing what you're doing, but how did you gain so much knowledge about this? Like, a random person wouldn't know, you know, you have to do this and this. Like, for your being like a chef, like, how do you have so much knowledge about it?
Well, thank you. You know, I've been doing my blog for almost 6 years now, and it really is like line upon line. I mean, you just, the best place to start is where you are. And for me, it's such a passion project and it's so much fun. Like, I would be doing this in my own family, even if I wasn't like publishing it to the world. Like, I just thoroughly enjoy trying new recipes. In fact, sometimes my family's like, can we just have spaghetti for dinner? Like, why are we always trying something new? Like, we have things we enjoy. Let us eat them more often. And I'm like, no, I love trying new things. So for me, like, I mean, when my husband's like up late at night, if he's like watching sports, I'm like scrolling Pinterest being like, could I turn this into something? Could I tweak this enough? Like, I, like, if you look at my feed, it's like, I follow nothing but food people because I truly just enjoy food. So it's just been a lot. You just have to be willing to do that trial and error and figure it out. And with time comes like the confidence and the ability to recognize like, oh, this works, this doesn't. So I think anyone can get to that level if they're just willing to put in the time.
Do you go out for like a specific restaurant that's like safe, I guess, your go-to?
Yeah. So, I mean, there's always super simple things like, you know, sandwiches. If you can do soy, we have these Thai kitchen noodle packets that are kind of like a top ramen. So, I mean, there's really simple things if you're just like, I don't have time to whip up a whole meal, but that's where my planning really comes in handy. We rarely eat out just because even when we go to trusted places, like I said, we've had an accident. I am still kind of on my guard. It's not super relaxing for me. It's almost easier than like getting all four kids in the car, driving somewhere, waiting for them to make it. Sometimes I'm like, I could have just whipped something up. But when it is like a special occasion, like someone's birthday, we enjoy Chick-fil-A. We feel like they have really good cross-contamination procedures. We like Red Robin. We really like their allergen menu. And we really like Costa Vida and Chipotle. So those are kind of like our top four go-tos.
Yeah, I mean, Mexican food is always like a safe, you know, it just has, it's just bread. I mean, for me, it's you know, safe for nut allergy people. I really thought that Chick-fil-A had peanut oil. I thought that I heard that somewhere. It was like peanut oil. They cooked it in peanut oil. Was that not true?
Yeah. So I actually did TikTok about this because I mentioned that we eat there and people were like, what? Like their minds were blown because both of my boys have severe peanut and tree nut allergies. And so check your app. I mean, I'm not someone who speaks for the store, but on your app, they list all the ingredients. And for my local location, they only use peanut oil for their breaded chicken, which we can't do breaded chicken anyways because of the wheat allergy. So we get the grilled nuggets and the French fries, and the French fries are in like a canola soy palm blend oil. So they're not fried in peanut oil. And that's why I love to eat at places like that. Like Red Robin also has a very good allergy menu where they spell it out for you. You're not like just hoping that your waiter happens to remember what's in it. Cause there's so many ingredients nowadays. And for me to see it myself, helps me feel a lot more comfortable with the restaurants.
Yeah, definitely. But yeah, I haven't ever ate at Chick-fil-A because I thought it had peanut oil in it, but now it doesn't.
Yeah, if you get the grilled nuggets and the fries, double check your own location. But for us, it's worked, so.
Yeah, definitely. I think that's very helpful for a lot of people who just want to, it's convenient, right? Convenience.
Yeah.
Right there. I mean, you could just go get it and it's allergy-free, which is great. But do you have any last words of wisdom to share for the audience today?
Yeah, well, a lot of times I am talking to like the moms. I think they relate to me because we're all dealing with children with food allergies. And a comment that I get like in my DMs a lot where I feel like maybe people don't feel comfortable posting it is like, I feel so alone. You know, like we're the only one in our family. We're the only one in our, you know, grade. We're the only one in our soccer league or whatever that has it. And just to remember, like, there are millions of us. And I know it can feel so lonely, but finding a good support group, whether they have food allergies or they're just really understanding, has been crucial to me. You know, I belong to several online groups of food allergy people. Just someone to lean on that's like, I get it. I know how it feels to have to bring your own things to a birthday party. Those type of things just buoy you up for those days when like food allergies do get you down. I do believe that's why I chose the name Allergy Awesomeness. You can still have an awesome life, but that doesn't mean that every day is sunshine and rainbows. There's going to be hard days, and having a good squad behind you is really uplifting.
I'm sure many parents are looking for a community behind them to help them out in any way possible. So how do you suggest them finding it?
Yeah, so luckily I found some really good friends locally that are willing to be careful and cautious and when they have us over. And then I also have like online people via various Facebook groups that I found for food allergies that, you know, you can ask questions. Hey, has anyone found the label for this? Or what do you do in this social situation? So there, people are out there. There's millions of us, and I know it feels, but, and sometimes it takes some digging to find your people, but they're out there. Find them. They will really support you and lift you up.
That's awesome. How do you maintain peaceful, and how do you cope with any anxiety? I'm sure, do you feel any, like, I'm just curious, do you feel any regret maybe about like, oh man, I shouldn't have given him like this food or anything like that?
Oh, sure. I mean, like you mentioned at the first of the podcast, there's 3 meals a day. Plus I feel like with kids, there's like a billion snacks in between, and you're human and you're going to make mistakes, and it's really easy to beat yourself up. And I'm a big advocate for feel the feelings. You know, it's okay to feel down. It's okay to feel bad. But again, the thing that really brings me back is when I start to feel anxious, because I am more prone to feel that way than my husband. So he's very even keel and calm. And so making sure that I'm being really honest with my feelings and sharing them, even when I might be embarrassed to say, I'm feeling really anxious, being able to talk that out with someone that I know isn't going to hype up my feelings, like, yeah, you should feel anxious, but someone that I know is going to help bring me back down. They're going to validate me and then say, hey, you know, here's the truth that I see. Here's, you know, where you can have control and where you can't. And here's how we can manage this is really crucial. So my husband and my good support team definitely help bring me down on those days where you're feeling a little out of control and a little anxious, because, you know, at the end of the day, all we can do is prepare and do our best. But, you know, sometimes life still happens. Like you mentioned, you know, accidents at restaurants and things like
that. For children like me, actually, because I'm actually prone to also being more an anxiety freak and like, oh my God, this is hurting. So I'm going to like, oh my God, my throat's closing up. I'm not going to be able to breathe. And it's always great to have like my parents there and saying, calm down, everything will be okay. And maybe it's only for me, but just being in, this might sound like a little weird, like what, but just being in the ER and like having doctors there, and I just feel more safe. I don't know what it is. Do you think that you feel that way when you were maybe in the ER and you just feel more?
Oh, for sure. Yeah. I mean, my son's had anaphylaxis, like I think 5 times. And so we're no strangers to the ER. And I know sometimes I feel like it's been opposite. Like he's felt more nervous. Like, we have to go to the hospital now, you know, cause it feels so unknown. And I think he's like, oh, now I know this is serious. And he's, you know, he's always like, do I have to get a shot? You know, like, are they going to put an IV in? But I feel at peace because I'm like, now I know there are trained medical professionals with equipment, with oxygen, with, you know, we have asthma medications, but stronger asthma medications that, so I'm not the one having to try and treat him. There are trained people who do this for a living. They stay calm during it, where maybe I'm a little more freaked out. So yes, I agree. Once we've driven up to the hospital, I feel an immense pressure off of me and know that he is in really good hands. And that's why I try and tell him, is when he says, am I going to have to get a shot, or am I going to have to this? And I say, whatever they're going to do to help you feel better. And I promise you, like, we're going to leave here feeling so much better. So, yeah.
But thank you so much for being on my podcast today.
This has been fun.
Yeah, full of wisdom. And it's super interesting to hear everything. And your tips was amazing. So I'm pretty sure it helped a lot of people who are listening to this right now. And thank you so much for listening to Less Panic, More Peace. Do you have any, what are your socials and everything? Book name and everything?
Yeah, so the book can be found on Amazon and a lot of other online retailers. Again, it's an Allergy Mom's Life-Saving Instant Pot Cookbook, or that's a really long title. You can always find it under my name, Megan Lavin. And then you can find me on Instagram, allergy_awesomeness. TikTok is Allergy Awesomeness. Facebook is Allergy Awesomeness. So, and allergyawesomeness.com is kind of the hub. It's the website where the actual recipes are, and then links to all my social from there. But thank you. You have a great podcast. I appreciate you having me on.
Thank you so much. See you next week. Peace out.